God had prospered Israel, and as a result of the prosperity, they forgot God, and they begin to trust in the prosperity, and they begin to go after other gods. And because Israel was the apple of his eye and his heart, and God did not want to lose his people forever, so he allowed Israel to go into captivity. And this captivity was a result of the rebellion, the result of the choices that they made to go their own way and to forsake his way. And so the prophet here, Habakkuk, was grieving over this condition because he knew that they were heading into this long period of Babylonian captivity. And how many know that if we continue to resist the Spirit of God, that God eventually will take his hands off and let us eat the fruit of our own doings, and that'll put us into deep bondage and despair. And so the prophet, however, was a man who feared God and trusted in God, and even though he knew that the choices that the general population was making was going to affect everybody, including the righteous that were there, he had these words to say. In conclusion to what the Lord had said was going to happen very shortly to Israel. And you know, I see parallels today that's happening right now with America. As we have turned away from our God, and now we're being given over even to our enemies. But this is the hope, that there's always hope in the Lord, folks. And this is what he said. Listen, though, chapter 3, verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. In other words, it doesn't have to influence us. What's happening to our nation and our society and the economy and everything else does not have to influence the internal condition of your heart, because you have access to the Almighty God, amen, the living God. And He is the one who is our glory and the lifter of our heads. He's our confidence. And He Himself is our exceeding joy. There is joy in the presence of the Lord, amen. There is joy in His fullness, in His presence. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's not based upon external circumstances, but there is a place of refuge for the people of God if they will turn to Him. And instead of complain about what's happening around us, we should be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Amen. Rejoicing in our God. Because when we sing and we rejoice and we praise Him, hallelujah, heaven is released. Heaven is released in you and around you. Amen. You can shift the attitude. Amen. Of your own heart by giving God praise. You can shift, hallelujah, the situation around you, the atmosphere around you, by giving God praise, because God inhabits praise. As we're giving praise to God, hallelujah, He is welcomed in that praise. And it says that He will literally be enthroned on the praises of His people. He's coming to inhabit this place and to release, hallelujah, His refreshing, even in a very dry and barren place. Amen. America has been starving. There's a lack, a famine for the true word of God today. But God says, if you will praise me, if you will seek me, I will refresh you. Amen. I will feed you. I will sustain you. You will find joy in me. Regardless of what happens in this economy today, folks, we're not living according to this world standard. Amen. Our kingdom is not of this world. We are citizens of heaven. We are kingdom citizens of heaven, and therefore we will live and operate from that realm, the realm, amen, that we have been brought together in Christ to, and that is seated with Him in heavenly places. And we can have peace. We can have joy. We can have, amen, goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Everything that we have need of, it's in Him. It's not based upon what's going on in my situation. Hallelujah. If we will rejoice instead, if we will give God praise instead, He will shift the atmosphere around you. And even though your circumstances may not change, God is saying that I will change you in the process, and I will give you my peace. I will give you my joy. joy, and the world is going to see that people that know God know the joyful sound, that they know what true joy is. They're going to see that we have a smile on our face because the Lord is smiling on the inside of us. Amen. And they're going to want to know our Jesus. They're going to want to know this refuge to whom we have run for security. And these days, we need to draw near to God. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I find, folks, that I'm no different than anybody else, you know. There are no superheroes in the kingdom. There's only one superhero. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. We're all just people. Amen. The Pope, anybody else, they're just people. Amen. We all need to go to Jesus the same way. Amen. We got to go through the cross. We got to go through the blood. And we got to go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. We all have access, thank God, the same way, right? Through the blood of Jesus. There are no superheroes, folks. There is authority that God gives to His church. Amen. But we're all brethren in the Lord. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the habitation of God. We are His body. Amen. His building. He inhabits us. God wants to saturate us with Himself. When you're saturated, how many know that God's not bummed out? Amen. How many know God is not depressed? He's happy God. Amen. And blessed are those who trust in the Lord. That means extremely happy as are those who are fully trusting in the Lord. We're not going to let our circumstances tell us how we're going to be on the inside. Amen. Instead, we're going to draw near to God. And as we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us and He'll saturate us in His presence. And we'll have His joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Your strength is in His joy. Yet I will rejoice. Even if all these things happen, the famine, the floods, you know, the disease, the storms, the uncertainties, the world is being shaken. Amen. You look around. We're living in the last of the last days. The world is being shaken. But as people of God, we don't have to be shaken by that. If anything, we're supposed to lift up our heads. Amen. And rejoice because our redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. And He's coming for those who are ready and those who are looking for Him. Hallelujah. I have found a joy that rejoices over sorrow. You know, God is able to lift us up above it all. And we can just find refuge in Him. Hallelujah. It's a reminder. We need to be reminded, don't we? We need to keep looking into the Word. And what does God say about it? You know, my own mind gets me in trouble because my own mind thinks logically, you know, and says, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how this is going to work. Well, God is bigger than our mind and our reason, much bigger. Amen. He's able to make a way even when there doesn't seem to be any way. But God can make a way. He just wants us to trust Him. Yeah. See, what we need to do is we need to step over the threshold. All right? I mean, sometimes we just got our foot on the threshold and we're kind of dabbling with this thing a little bit, you know, like, yeah, it kind of felt good. And yeah, we're like in the kiddie pool. We're just kind of go, yeah, the water feels good. But hey, do yourself a favor. Jump into the deep end, you know, go for it. Hallelujah. Lose yourself in His glory and His presence. And you'll have supernatural peace, supernatural joy. Hallelujah. This world will never satisfy. It has nothing for me. Been there, done it. My advice is don't repeat the folly of someone else, right? If somebody else said, I've been there, done it, it didn't work, why should we do the same thing, right? Let's be wise and let's learn from the mistakes of others. All right? We don't condemn others. We just learn from their mistakes. And I like to learn from my own mistakes, too. So anyways, God bless you. Well, we're few, but we're strong because the Lord is with us. And yeah, absolutely, guys, if you like to sit down there, you can. Yeah, in the padded pews. And well, I wish Dale was here tonight to testify, but at the men's meeting yesterday, Dale is Michelle's husband. He shared with us what happened in the car the other day. You want to share it for it? Tell us a little bit about it. Yeah. You don't want to. Is he going to get up here and share if I call on him? Or he would? Okay. All right. But he received a miracle in his car. Imagine that. He wasn't even in church. Yeah. You know, God lives in that church right over there. That's God's house. No, we're God's house. This is the meeting hall. This is where we get together, right? But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to hold off on that then because I want to let him share. But he received a miracle the other day. And, you know, God wants to meet you right where you're at. And God wants to do for you. He loves you and he wants to help. He really wants us to allow him to work in our lives. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on us, but he does draw us. He does things that will get our attention. I was talking to someone recently on a text message. I got this message about somehow God using a spiritual 2x4 to get our attention. Uh-huh. You know, I remember Nels talking this way, Nels Honeycutt, but he said, you know, God speaks to us softly. You know, he says, hey, you know, get with it. And then he speaks a little louder. You know where this is going. And then it gets louder and louder. And finally, I've discovered something that, first of all, it's always a joy when I say yes to God. Because he only wants to do me good. Yes. Amen. And secondly, that I don't like his discipline. We need it because he loves us that much. But I would prefer to say yes, Lord, than to go the hard way, you know. He's going to, yes. Well, you know, he loves us so much that he's just going to allow some things to happen to get our attention because he doesn't want to lose us. You know, I remember hearing a girl one time say, I don't know where this is going yet, but Lord help me, that she used to think that Satan was more powerful than God. And so she was taken over by Satan because she believed that to be true, to be the case. And you know, the enemy is a good bluffer. He's a good bluffer. He knows how to make himself look like something he's not. He's a has-been. He's a has-been. And so what he wants people to do is to believe his lies that somehow he's got more power than God. That you need to be afraid of him. So what he does is he embellishes and magnifies the lie. He makes himself look bigger than he really is. Because if we start to believe that he is, when he's not, we're now putting our faith in the lie instead of the truth. And I remember this girl telling me that she, you know, thought that he had more power. Why? Because it seems like if you look around in your world and you look at the interests, you know, of so many today with the occult and all the stuff that's going on, you know, and blood and everything. There's this interest in the supernatural, you know. Well, God designed us to have a hunger for the supernatural. Amen? Yeah. We're supernatural. We are spirits in a body. So we're spiritual beings. And so we are going to worship something. So the enemy wants to bluff and make us believe that he's God when he's a fallen cherub and actually a created being that has fallen and has led a rebellion against God. And so that he wants to magnify the evil so that we begin to trust and believe in the evil rather than in the good. And I have discovered something that I myself at one time believed that to be true, because I felt like, hey, if you're just kind of giving in to the wide and to the easy and what the crowd is doing and what everybody else is doing, then it seemed to be easier. I seem to have a lot of friends. I seem to have influence. And I was learning how to manipulate and how to control other people. And the enemy was working on my ego to get me to believe that I was really something when I really was nothing. But he was just setting me up, because what the enemy wants to do is possess you. That's his goal. You see, God wants to possess us, but so does Satan. So he lures us with lies. And if we believe that he's something when he's not, then we're actually giving him license or permission to operate in our lives. Isn't that true? And so I discovered something, that which I had believed in was a lie, and that when the love of God broke through my heart, to my heart, it was the most powerful thing in the universe. When God broke through into my life, no one could fix me but God. No one could change me but God. No one could do it but God. Amen? Amen? And so God is in love with us. God loves us. He's jealous for us. He doesn't want us to give ourselves to a lie, because he knows that the lie leads to destruction. That's why Jesus says, you will know what is real, what is really real. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It really says make you free. So it's a battle for your mind and for what is true. It's a battle of truth. If we believe a lie as though it were the truth, we're deceived. That's what deception is. But if we believe the truth, that Jesus is the truth, then we walk in peace and joy and love in the goodness of God. Amen. In his faithfulness. I have self-control. I have all the good things that really, let's face it, we're all searching for and looking for. You know, you don't have to look any further than Jesus for all that. He is the only one that's going to complete us. He's the only one that's going to make us whole. It's got to be his way. So what the enemy wants to get us to do is to focus on the evil, to focus on what's wrong, to focus on what's broken, to focus on the problem instead of the solution. He wants us to focus on our addictions. He wants us to focus on our sin. He wants us to be looking at that, and he wants us to try to work by self-effort to overcome our sin. Try harder. You just got to try harder. Has anybody ever heard that message before? And the harder you try, it seems like the worse you fall. You keep failing. You keep falling short. You don't seem to. You do good for a while, and then you're right back into it again. You know, the reason for that is we have wrong focus. We have broken focus. We're focusing on the wrong thing. Okay. God wants us to live free. Free from condemnation, free from fear, free from shame, free from sin, the power of sin. Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin. He has overcome the world. His blood has availed for us at the cross. The sin problem has already been dealt with. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to put yourself in the place of trying to fix yourself. Because as long as you're trusting in you and not in him, you have no grace available to live in victory. You see, the victory has already been won. The price has already been paid. Jesus Christ has overcome. Amen? So God is saying, I want you to shift your focus away from your problems, from your sin, from your habits, and start looking and pursuing me. Pursue my heart. Worship the Lord. Draw near to him. How many know that resisting temptation is not enough by itself. We must pursue God. You see, people can do good for a season, you know, resisting sin and temptation in yourself, in your self-will. How many know, amen, people that don't even have the Spirit of Christ can have some victory by simply applying their will to a situation to stop doing something, for example. But they don't have freedom from it. See, God didn't come to patch us up. God came to deliver us from it, to set us free from it. The power of sin has been broken at the cross. And Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. The things that I thought would make me happy, that would fulfill me, were simply a lie, a smokescreen from the adversary to get me to believe in a lie as though it were true, so he would keep me in deception and keep me in a place of bondage where I could not serve God. He was afraid that if I got set free, that I would serve God. So he wants to keep me in the bondage, and he keeps you in bondage by getting you to put yourself in the place of saving yourself, of working your way through this thing. Are you with me? God is saying you need to enter in to my presence, into my joy, into my freedom. You need to walk in my freedom. Walk in the victory that I've already purchased for you at the cross. It is freely given and it is freely received. Receive the grace of God. Receive the mercy of God. Receive the forgiveness of God. Receive it and don't try to achieve it because you cannot. Freedom is me being set free by the Son of God. Jesus sets me free. The things that I thought would make me free, casting off restraints, not obeying the rules, doing my own thing, I'm free because nobody's going to tell me what to do. But every time I threw off all those restraints, I found myself deeper and deeper in bondage. It's a lie. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are only few who will find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, all these others. He says, I am the way. The only way to the Father, John 14:6. No man comes to the Father except by me. I am the door. If you enter in through the door, you'll find refuge. You'll find rest. In his presence is fullness of joy. See, not only do we need to resist temptation, we need to say no to death and yes to life. If we're only saying no to death, but not yes to life, then we continue to stay in the place of bondage. Are you with me? Because then you're still in yourself. God is saying, I want you to step over the threshold, amen, into life. If you just got your foot on the threshold and you're just going to dabble with this thing, it's not going to work. He's saying you need to quit, get out of the kiddie pool, quit splashing around, you know, what's the word? Dabbling with Christianity. And make the full plunge. When you make the full plunge, you will be set free. Whomsoever the Son sets free. Come on. Is free indeed. Are there any free people here tonight? So Romans 6:11 is our text, and it says, likewise, you, talking to the church, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that word reckon means consider or conclude. So conclude, may come to the conclusion that I, in Christ, am dead to sin. If you don't believe you're dead to sin, you will continue to live in sin. He says, reckon yourself indeed dead to what? To sin. but a life to God. Now, I want you to take a look at this with me because there are negatives here. All right? But what we forget is the positives. If we focus on the negative, but we don't focus on the positive, then we will not have victory. You're only going halfway. God is saying, don't even focus on that. Don't even look at that. Don't even consider that thing anymore. Don't even consider sin to be anything for you, because if you're in Christ, you've been set free from it. He's already overcome it. And in Christ, you are an overcomer, because He is greater than in you than he that's in the world. And so sin is not your master. You've shifted, amen, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We have come in to Him who is life. So He says here in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Why? Because you don't have to. That you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present, there's the negatives, your members as instruments of unrighteousness. It means don't give your body to doing these things that God forbids. But instead, he says, but do this positive thing. This is what you need to do, okay? Don't focus on not doing this and not doing that. Don't focus on that. Don't focus on the do nots. This is the problem. Legalism teaches you to focus on the do nots. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And after a while, you're like, what can I do? Are you with me? He's saying, don't focus on the do nots, but focus on the do, on the positive. Present yourselves, your soul, to God and your members or your body. So present your person back to God. I'm dead to sin, but I present myself now to God, and I will pursue God, His will, His purpose for my life. I'm not looking back. I don't have to go back. Amen. I'm free. I'm dead to what was. I'm alive in what is now. I'm on the other side of the cross. I step through the threshold of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. I've made the full plunge here. I'm not looking back. I'm pursuing God and His kingdom and His purposes. And Jesus said, if you seek God and the kingdom of God above everything else will be added to you. What you have need of, you don't have to worry about it. Grace means freedom to serve the Lord, not freedom to sin. How many know that what you believe will determine how you live? If we believe we're losers, then we'll live like a loser. If you believe you're defeated, then you'll live defeated. If you believe that you're an addict, then you will continue to live as an addict. If you believe you're an alcoholic, then you'll continue to live as an alcoholic. If you believe that Christ has set you free from that, that I'm dead to that, that it has no power over me, that's what I believe because God said it. And as I put faith in what God says, the power or the grace of God is released on my behalf and I truly am free. You will serve what you fear. If you fear your sin, if you believe it's somehow greater than the grace of God, then you're given license for it to operate in your life. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God now. I'm not focusing on yesterday. I'm not focusing on the wrong that I did. If I confessed it to God, hello, He's forgiven me. Amen. It's under the blood. I don't have to allow the devil to tell me that you can't be free from that, or God doesn't love you, or God doesn't forgive you. He's a liar. Yeah. Jesus loved you before you loved Him. Amen. He died for us while we were still in our sin. Not because we were good. But He came to set us free. And He wants you to live free. So we must believe we are overcomers as a present reality and not as something to be achieved. I'll say it again. We must believe that we are overcomers in Christ. As a present reality. Reality is truth. Amen? What's true? And not as something to be achieved by our own efforts. Again, our victory was paid for in full at the cross. Sometimes it's yesterday's failures that prevent us from reaching our destiny in Christ. Why is that? Because we're focusing on what was and not on what is. I was lost in sin till Jesus took me in. Amen? I'm on the other side of the cross. If you are born again, it means that Christ has come into you. You actually joined Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. He's saying, walk in resurrection now. Walk on the other side of the cross. Pursue now the purpose and will of God. He saved us so we could serve Him. We don't have to live in this. If we're in fear and condemnation, we won't serve Him. We're always going to be in that place of going back and saying, oh God, did you really forgive me the first time? Come on. We got to get over that stuff. We got to say, I'm dead to that. It's under the blood. It's paid for in full. What I did then was then. That's in the past. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm now in Christ. Christ is the victor. Amen? And He gives me the victory. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We can walk in that freedom because we acknowledge, we reckon, we consider it done. I'm dead to sin, but I am alive to God. Hallelujah. Focus on the positive. Focus on the fact that you are alive in God. Don't dwell on the negative, but dwell on the positive. Because what the devil wants to do is resurrect the negative. He wants to resurrect your past. He wants to resurrect it in your eyes. He wants to take it back to you and say, would you like this back, Dave? And remember what you did? No, nobody else saw it, but I saw it. You know, and God saw it. You remember what you did? Come on, everybody ever heard that voice before? Amen. Trying to rub your past. And you know, sometimes even people that we love, sometimes we'll bring our past up and place it in front of us and say, remember what you did? Sometimes we're stamp collectors, you know. Oh, I'll put that in my stamp collection. Next time we get into a fight, I'll bring that one out too, you know. Oh, yeah? Well, what about this and this and this and this? How many know that when God forgives, He forgets. He says, it's gone. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He comes up and says, remember what you did. Because if you're focusing on what you did, you're not going to live in what you can do now. Amen? In the new life. So consider it done. Amen? Conclude. Come to the conclusion that you're dead to sin. Now, it doesn't mean that we have no sin. Isn't that right? That would be a lie to say we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's 1 John 1:8. But if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, past, we have made Him a liar and His word is not in us. So another, once again, our focus has to be on the positive aspect of being alive unto God and not on the negative of sin. We need to focus on the positive of being alive in God and not on the negative of sin. I'm dead to sin in Christ. Consider it done, amen? Reckon yourself dead to sin. Come to that conclusion. Make up your mind. You're repenting, right? You repented of that thinking. I repented of my sin. That means I'm no longer a sinner by label. By identity, I'm not a sinner. I didn't say we don't make mistakes. I'm saying that my identity is not a sinner. You hear that a lot in the church. Well, I'm just a sinner saved. Are you born again? If you're born again, you're not a sinner. You've been set free from sin. That's what the Word of God says. The devil wants you to put yourself in that and confess those things. He wants you to confess, well, I'm this and I'm that. Well, did God set you free? Then you're no longer that. Believe what he says. Sometimes it's bad theology that keeps us in bondage. How many know what I'm talking about tonight is the Word of God? Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What does he mean? He says, if you listen to what I'm telling you, you will be my followers. Amen? And then you're going to know what I say about the matter. You're going to know what is real. And an awareness, or coming to an awareness of the reality of what really is, will set you free from the lie that you used to believe. So we believe now in the reality of the present, amen, that we are in God. That we've been raised up together with Christ according to Ephesians and seated together with Him in the heavenly places. Amen? As a present reality. The present reality is that I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've changed masters. I've said goodbye, Satan. Hello, Jesus. I'm going with you. Amen? I don't care what the world does, what the population does, what Hollywood does, what they say is popular and what is envious and how you want to look and how you want to walk and how you want to talk. I don't care what the world says. I do care what God says, because what God says is always true. And what He says works. It's worked for me in my life, and I know it's worked for you as well. The more that we come to know the truth, the freer we are. Hallelujah. The more that we realize what God has done for us already, the freer we can be, amen, in our daily walk. Hallelujah. We've got to quit letting the devil lie to us. I use this example this morning, but it's like Sam. He quits drinking for a season. And then he celebrates his success. However, Sam fails to present himself back to God. Here lies the problem. You see, we can have victory, you know, because we came to Jesus and we said, oh, God, help me. God, get me out of this mess. I got myself in this mess. Lord, would you help me? And God says, okay, done. The problem then becomes, if we don't say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you now. Was it not 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed? They had leprosy. Leprosy represents sin, you know. And they came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus healed them. And then he cleansed them. And 10 of them walked away, but only one returned to give glory to God. How many know he was the one that was justified? It's not enough to be forgiven. We must also make that step over the threshold into life to walk now with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not looking back. Never looking back. We're looking forward. That's what Paul the Apostle, he said, I forget those things which are behind, but I'm pressing towards the mark. Amen. I'm now following, pursuing God and His will and His purpose for my life. And as I'm focusing on the do's, I don't have time for the do nots. It's not even in the picture. I'm just here, Lord, to present my body back to you as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, right? I just give my life back to him. Say, Jesus, you set me free. Now what can I do for you? You paid the price for me on the cross. Now what can I do for you for the rest of my life? You set me free from a devil's hell. Now I want to walk, amen, in the glory with you. Hell is a real place. Jesus spoke about it more than he did heaven. He doesn't want you to go there. As long as we trust in ourselves and our own ability to overcome sin, we will not have the grace of the Lord in our lives. This is so good. This is from the New Living Translation, from 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. Can you just bear with me just for a few moments? Please listen. Everybody tune in just to listen to this. When we come to Jesus Christ, we come with an understanding that this is it. I'm all in. There's no turning back. The bridge is gone. Amen? To yesterday and to what was. I'm coming into life. Don't look back. Consider or reckon yourself dead to what was, to the past, to the sin, and alive unto God. But when we come to Jesus, we also understand that we are also going to embrace His call, His purpose for our lives. And sometimes that's going to require suffering. However, the Lord promised that if you suffer with me, you will reign with me someday. Amen. If you are rejected, if you are, you know, expelled from your circle of friends because you follow me, He says, don't get bummed out. Amen. He says, leap for joy. Because God is going to reward you eternally because you stood up. You know what? When you stand up for Jesus, He'll stand up for you. When you stand up for Jesus, you'll never be ashamed. The world doesn't shame me, folks. I've been there, done that. The world doesn't shame me. I've never been ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I've never been ashamed to say I'm one of His followers. Amen? Because I know where I'm going. And I know that this world is temporary. And our very next breath is by the grace of God. And no one knows the day or the hour of His visitation or the day when He says, this is it. And you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it's going to be time to give an account of your life. And as for me and my house, we've decided we're going to live on the other side of the cross. We're not going back. My sins are forgiven. My heart is right. And I'm not going back into the cesspool. Amen. Because when I see Jesus, He's going to see His righteousness on me. Not my own. I'm going to be clothed in His glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, Jesus, make me like You. Make me beautiful, Jesus. Make me ready. I'm a worshiper today because of the grace of God and not because of anything I did. And so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. And let me also say that even in resisting and turning away from sin is going to require at times there's going to be persecution. There's going to be people who are going to write you off as one of those fanatics, one of those Jesus freaks, guilty as charged. Hey, make my day, you know? Make my day. He says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. How many here really want to do the will of God for your life? Huh? You want to do that? Well, you can. If you're in Christ, you've been set free. And now you can walk a new life. You can do the will of God. And no devil in hell can stop you because God is in you and for you and with you. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality, sexual sin, lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends, listen, are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. Oh, yes, I had a little of that. I went back. I got born again in my bedroom, had an encounter, a life-changing, radical transformation in my bedroom. Didn't even really quite knew what happened. But all I knew was that something dramatic had happened and everything looked beautiful and bright. And boy, I had this joy in me that I didn't have. I had love. My heart was like melted before God. And I went back to band practice. We're doing Black Sabbath and all this stuff. And, hey, you guys heard about Jesus? Whoa, dude. Oh, man, nothing but the best for God's people. You know what I'm saying? He serves the best wine. I'm telling you, God serves the best. The world's wine makes you sick, you know, but God's wine rejoices your heart. Hallelujah. And you don't get hung over on that. If you really want to get high, you got to go to the Most High. Hallelujah. I got tired of walling around in the mud puddles. I said, I'm going where the living water's at. I'm going to jump in the refreshing springs of His presence. But remember this, He said, that they, your friends, and those who slander you, and those who despise you, those who reject you, those who say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, you're a Jesus freak now. Listen, He says, remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. And so again in Romans 12 and 1, Paul said this, so dear brothers and sisters, please hear this. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Listen, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Are you here tonight? You want God to set you free from sin? Do you want to be set free from sin? Then you got to repent. And you got to present your life, your body back to Him now, as one who has been spared from death and brought into life. Amen? They're going through the cross, and now I'm going to walk in the resurrection. Would you bow your heads tonight? God is saying, God is calling, God is saying, if you will come, you need to step over the threshold into my arms. I will greet you, I will receive you, I will forgive you, and I will give you eternal life. But you've got to repent. You've got to turn away from yourself, from your ways, from your sin. You need to repent. You need to change your thinking, change your mind about the way you've been living. If you want to come into life, if you want to experience my death, burial, and resurrection, if you want to walk in new life, in the abundance of life that I promise, you need to step through the threshold. And Jesus says, I am the threshold. I am the door. I am the way to the Father. And you need to say, Jesus, I come to you right where you're at. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. I want to serve you. I want to live and not die. I want to be able to stand before you in the day of judgment, having my sins washed away, clothed in your presence and your righteousness. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Set me free from sin, that I may run with you this race set before me with endurance. Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in for you. Here's my life. Here's my heart. Here's my soul. Lord, I give it all to you. Take full control. Hallelujah. That's the first step. Every day we're faced with the question, who will be Lord? Who will be Master? Who will I serve? And you wake up, you give your life, you give your heart, you give your day to Jesus Christ. Walk in Him, abide in Him, experience and enjoy His presence. God wants to saturate you with His presence. Hallelujah.